Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Today, I get to introduce you to someone that I've gotten to know over the last few months, and it's like, we just keep finding ourselves at the same place at the same time. And he's always got an incredibly gorgeous smile, as you can see on the screen. And I'm absolutely delighted to introduce him to you, Michael Ciarrocco. And I'm going to let you say your own last name.
Ciarrocco.
He's the CEO of People Building Incorporated. And I love, if you read it, what are you made of? I love that. That's incredible. What are you made of, movement? So important today and what's happening in the world today. And you've got so many things going on. Not only are you a performance coach, author, public speaker, visionary thought leader, you've built a incredibly successful mortgage company, and it says twice. So we'll have to get into that a little better. And in 2020, you were number one on the list of top mortgage professionals by Yahoo Finance. So all those things come together, but at the end of the day, you're always there at the front and center to help people take control of their lives. So Mike, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate that.
Sharon, thank you so much. I always start every interview I go on with gratitude, because to me, it means so much to be thankful for everything that you have. And I'm just thankful for you, the relationship that we've developed, and also to your audience for showing up. It's really important to show up, and I appreciate them being here. So thank you.
Well, that's what you're made of, right? So
that's right.
Mike, I like to start my interviews with people just asking you to talk about little Mike, where you started and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So it reminds me of the time that my dad threw a $100 bill at me and said I was going to need it when I was living on the streets with my mother one day. And, you know, I came from a broken home. I don't remember my parents together. You know, I came through the conflicts of child support battles and custody battles, like many of you that are listening may have gone through. But the problem is that when you add step parents to the mix, it even gets worse. And that's what happened with me. And there was a lot of conflict growing up. My mom was moving on to her third marriage when I was about 8 years old. And at that time, I didn't had enough self-awareness, believe it or not, to know that I didn't want to move into another man's house, learn another man's rules. And as I tell these stories, I love my mom to death, and she knows I tell these stories, so it's all good. I'm not telling it to bash any decision-making that was done back then, because I don't know the whole story. But I decided to move in with my dad, and he was moving on to his second marriage. And I thought that would be something new and fresh, new environment. And so I did that, and it was good at first. But then slowly but surely, there were some conflicts developing between my stepmom and my mom and my dad, and it was all pouring down on the kids. And it, especially me, because I was the only link my dad and my mom still had together. And so I dealt with a lot of abuse, psychological, mental, and threats. And I used to sleep with a baseball bat when I was around 9 years old a lot of nights, because I was just scared and I didn't feel secure because of the things that were being said during fights and arguments a lot. And I thought it was ordinary, Sharon. I thought that that's what you're supposed to go through as a kid. And when I became about 10 and a half years old, I realized, wait a minute, something's not right here. And so I decided to share with my mom on the way back home from her house on an every other weekend trip. My stomach was in knots, and I was anxious about going back to my dad's house as we were going over the hills in southeastern Pennsylvania. And my mom noticed something was wrong, and she questioned me about it. And I basically broke down and shared everything that was going on with her. And the reason that I didn't do that at first is because when you're in an abusive situation, a lot of times you get concerned with people, whether they're going to believe you or not. And if you're maybe over dramatizing things, or you feel embarrassed that you let this go on for so long. But the funny thing is that there's also a concern for the abuser. You're concerned what's going to happen to the abuser if I share what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, eventually my mom said, you know what? That's not normal. I'm going to file court papers, but you need to be sticking to your guns with this because I cannot be left out, hang dry on a limb if I go to the courts. And they're going to try to talk you out of it, Mikey. That's what they used to call me. They're going to try to talk you out of this. So you need to stick to your guns. And I took that as I got to be stubborn. I got to just my way or nothing. And so eventually my dad was served court papers. I came home from school one day after waiting weeks and weeks. And the tension in the room was like just so thick. I knew something was up. Now, my dad, Sharon, was my hero. He was a mason. That's why I have the bricks back here. He poured concrete, laid block, and he was successful. And he used to, if you know anything about construction guys and Italian guys, especially, they don't carry a wallet. They carry a wad of $100 bills with a rubber band around it. And I thought that was the coolest thing growing up. My dad had rough hands and big forearms, always had a nice tan from being out in the sun. And I thought this, you know, he was my hero, man. And when I confirmed after he confronted me with these papers and said, you know, your mom's poor. You have everything you need here. She doesn't have anything. She has men coming in and out of the house. Why would you want to go back to that? And I remember my mom saying, stick to your guns, which I did. And he said, okay, if that's the case. And he takes that wad of $100 bills out and he peeled one off and he crumpled it up and threw it at me and said, you're going to need this then when you're living on the streets with your mother one day. And as a child around 10 and a half years old in that range, you know, the stubbornness in me kicked in and I just knew at that moment that I was never going to need that money. And now for 30 some years to wrap this up, 30 some years, I was fueling off of that moment, which had tons of fuel in it. When things got tough or things were going great and I wanted to take it to the next level, I used to ask myself this question behind me here. What are you made of? What ingredients? Look at the ingredients that have gone into making you. You cannot allow him to be right. And I was fueling off of this. And this is where, you know, the concept of rocket fuel, which we'll get into in a little while, that's where it came from. And that's where it started.
I love that because you look back, most of us can look back at those, you know, one or two turning points in our life that really, you know, and we'll definitely the rocket fuel, but that is so powerful because you were 10, my goodness, yeah. You know, a young boy who really was at that point in need of nurturing and guidance. And you were basically jettisoned from the love and guidance that you needed. So I'm so supportive because you continued. I mean, you found a way. You've always found a way to continue. And I want to add in here because people listening to you, you've been married 17 years. Is that right?
Yeah, 18 at the end of this month.
So you don't have to repeat the process, right? You find somebody right, and you made right. That commitment. So talk a little bit about that because that's changing the whole your environment into something better.
Yeah, breaking the patterns, right? Pattern interruption. I think it's very important to realize that you don't have to follow in the tracks of your parents, the beliefs of your parents, especially when it comes to finances or relationships. And so one thing I've always told myself is that I don't want to repeat what my dad and mom went through. You know, I realized somehow, and you know, I think it came down to when I was 3 or 4 years old, my mom used to tell me, hey, you inspire me. You're an inspiration. You're going to be a leader. And I think that stemmed subconsciously. She was doing that because she knew the things that were going to happen. She knew my uncles and grandparents and all the turmoil that was. I grew up with a lot of broken people, alcohol, drug addicts. My grandmother ended up committing suicide when I was in college and I was close to her. And I just was never okay with people being that way and them telling themselves that they had to succumb to that. And so I always wanted to change things. I just never accepted what they were going through. And I think that's where it stemmed from.
Yeah, it's just amazing because you've been married 17 years, you have two beautiful children and you've created tremendous success. So let's jump into the mortgage industry. And as you said, you built a very successful twice. So share a little bit about that because success, you know, people think success is a straight path and it's really kind of ups and downs along the way, right?
Yeah, like the mountain I climbed in Scottsdale this weekend. It was ups and downs. So the mortgage industry in 2006, I was in the real estate world as a real estate agent. I was doing well, but I didn't like showing people houses. So I wanted to get into the mortgage side of things with my partner, Chris Short. And I started off as a loan officer and very quickly decided that I wanted to scale this and I wanted to help others become successful. And so we decided to do that. And over the next 2011, 7 years it took, basically, we developed a division of branches. We were doing over $10 million in revenue, and which is pretty good because the profit off of that, we did pretty well. And then I found myself built on sand. The foundation we had built was not good. The culture started off good, but then we started chasing production rather than the right-minded people, the people that aligned with core values, which we negotiated. And it was a valuable lesson because everything came crumbling down. The leadership of that company, the ownership of that company, did some unscrupulous things with our money. And once that happened, we had to make a move, and we lost some employees because of that, because of what the owner did. And for a short period of time, I didn't take full responsibility for that. From somebody looking on the outside, they would look in and say, well, that was all his fault. But at the end of the day, I have no control, which my shirt here says control the future. I have no control if I don't take 100% responsibility for what happened. And I remember breaking down in my kitchen in front of my wife, because I had 22 employees and their families at that moment looking at me and saying, now what? We can't stay here, but now what, C-Rock? And I took that very seriously, because I identified as a division manager in the mortgage company, which is another lesson that I'll never do again. I was sold out on just, that's what my identity was. And I told my wife at that moment, I'm like, I'll never go through this again. I'll never find myself broken down, broken. This is the last time this will happen. And from there, it only took us 2 years to get back to where we were after taking 7 years the first time. And we went to a new platform at Nations Lending, and we run our P&L operation under this. And we've grown to 40 employees, great core values, great alignment. And we're just, you know, it's a great lesson that I've witnessed. And you know, sticking to your core values and being non-negotiable with what you believe in.
It's so important, isn't it? I mean, when you're living out of your context of your own values, everything in your life is upset, you know, your physical, mental, sleep, everything. So being able to stand and control the future is very, very important. So I like that. So talk a little bit about Rocket Fuel, because I know in addition to your mortgage, you've actually gone into consulting and helping coach other people finding that power within themselves. So talk a little bit about that part of your business.
Yeah. So first of all, about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when that happened with the mortgage industry, I was in a dark spot for a little while. And I really took a second to self-assess, like, why do I still have success? Why are my graphs still gradually going up in my life and my relationships, everything, no matter what happens to me? There's something there and I got to figure it out. And what I realized was I was taking everything that would stop a normal human being or slow them down, and I was storing it in my fuel tank instead of my trunk where it would weigh me down. And I was converting things into fuel and propelling. And that awareness changed my graph from a gradual uptick to more of a rocket fuel trajectory. So I started thinking, rocket fuel, this is what will get you into outer space away from gravitational pull and all the negative suppressors. And once I realized this, I started talking about it and showing my team, and we were seeing so much success with it. I'm like, well, if John Maxwell can have leadership laws, I can have the rocket fuel law. So I decided to write a book about it. I talked to Grant about it. He talks about converting fuel all the time. He was willing to write the foreword about what the rocket fuel law means to him, which is convert all setbacks into rocket fuel to become unstoppable. And that's my mission now, Sharon. It's all about all people are unstoppable to live in the life of their dreams. And I filter everything through that, including the people that I associate and hang out with and spend time with.
So what's your vision of the future, Mike? What is it that you hope to see happen with your business?
So at the end of the day, you know, I can see having an impact on a grand scale. You know, I'd love to change one life. And that is, if that's the only thing that you do, that is great. But I just feel like I've been put on this planet with potential to really impact millions and millions of people. And I'm not going to stop until I do that. So what I want to do is I want to hang around people that are already doing that and really get mentored. You know, even I'm in my 40s now, I don't stop learning. And leave a legacy that when people around C-Rock, they feel unstoppable when they're done talking to me. I'm more concerned with the way people experience me rather than what they think of me. And so I just want to leave that impact no matter what business I get into, which we're into a lot of things right now, but I just want to leave that legacy that people feel that way. And I want to make people feel the way my heroes made me feel.
Well, the Play Big movement is all about being number one in your field, living your legacy. And that's with every heart you touch every day and creating maximum impact. So we're definitely aligned with what you're doing. And how can people find you, Rocket Fuel? How can they support you?
The book's on Amazon now, but you can also DM me on Instagram at Mikey C Rock, M I K E Y C Rock, or on LinkedIn. I answer all my messages. I love engaging with people. And if you'd like the book, like I said, is available on Amazon as of yesterday.
As of yesterday. Fantastic. Yes. I'm glad we were able to get you. So thank you so much. And you're going to stay with me because we're going to do another shorter interview for the inside the private Facebook group.
Awesome.
But I'm proud of you. Anything we can do to support you, let us know. We look forward to it. Certainly, we appreciate all the support you've given us. Certainly with Exit Rich, we've got ours coming out as well. We appreciate your support there. And I look forward to having the opportunity to get to know you even better as we continue on this journey. So you take care. Thanks so much, C-Rock. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Sharon.
For all of you watching and listening, we want you to play a bigger game. And you do that by the power of association, who you're hanging out with, understanding what your values are, and being number one in your field, living your legacy, and creating maximum impact. So until next time, thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. You are fabulous. Take care. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.